chapter 23 for our scripture text. If you would open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 23. Glad to see everybody here tonight. Glad to see Sister Ginger being here. And I was here last night at prayer meeting, here tonight. Appreciate and also the Lord using her tonight in the service already. Hallelujah. Matthew 23 and verse number 33 is what verse of scripture we'd like to preach from tonight. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 33. The Bible says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" I want to preach from that verse, and I'm going to read it one more time. "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" I want to preach tonight on how can we escape hell. How can we? Jesus said, "How can ye, O generation of serpents, or ye serpents and generation of vipers, how can ye?" I want to preach on how can we escape hell. Amen. Let's pray that the Lord will help us. Lord, thank you for this service so far. Thank you for everything that's been done. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that we felt in this service already, and even speaking to unto us through your Spirit. Pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we go to your Word. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's not saved. I pray, Lord, that you'll save souls tonight, Lord. God, I pray that you'll deal with hearts, Lord, to be saved, to make things right with you, Lord. If there's somebody here tonight, Lord, that's not right with you, I pray, Lord, they'll leave this sanctuary tonight saved by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for it tonight, Lord. Praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, the church said amen. Amen. How can we escape hell? I know in the day and hour we live in, people make a joke of hell. People carry on about hell, and people take it very lightly. And even use the word very lightly. And somehow hell has become, in our imagination, what it's not. Hell is a place that is prepared. God's prepared it. The Bible says that it was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's in the Gospels where Jesus talks about in one of the Gospels, or in the Gospels. But Jesus makes a statement. He said that they would be cast into hell and cast into the fire. And then he makes this statement, prepared for the devil and his angels. So we take that scripture and we take what Jesus said there, and we preach many times, and you've probably heard many times people say that hell wasn't created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. And that's the reason we say that, is because Jesus said that they would cast them into hell prepared for the devil and his angels. But Jesus, matter of fact, you probably knew this already, maybe you didn't, but Jesus spoke of hell more than he did of heaven. In the four Gospels, and if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, there is more talked about hell in Jesus' words than there is about heaven. He talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And there is no doubt that hell is real. I want to explain something else to you, or just bring something to your attention right here at the beginning. But used to, years ago, not too long ago, but years ago, you had a whole lot more instances of people dying and talking about going to hell. They talked about their feet being on fire. My dad's dad, they talk about one of his neighbors, them helping him hold him down while he was dying. And I've heard my uncles talk about it and say that, you know, that that man was such a wicked sinner, but they held him on the bed screaming, "I'm going to hell." And my answer to that is, the reason you don't hear much about it anymore is because we live in a day of a lot of medicine and sedations and things like that. I believe that's the reason you don't hear about it as much. I'm sad to say, I wasn't there, obviously, but my mom's grandpa passed away screaming he was going to hell. He died of tuberculosis, I believe, if it's the same one. But one of her grandpas passed away screaming, you know, "Get me out of hell." And I'm here to tell you tonight, there's people in this place that'll go to hell, more than likely. We're all going to have family members that's going to go to hell. Everybody don't go to heaven. I know they go to, you go to funerals. I worked at funeral homes, and everybody goes to heaven according to the preachers. But preachers are lying. Everybody don't go to heaven. And I want to preach to us tonight, and I don't know, I'm not going to try to take long, but I'm just going to, how can we escape hell? Jesus said, oh serpents. He looks at these people and says, "You bunch of snakes, generation of snakes, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" And I'm going to take that phrase right there, how can we escape hell? And Jesus tells a story in Luke 16 about a beggar named Lazarus and a rich man that fared sumptuously every day. The beggar was laid at his gate daily. Bible says that he was full of sores. Bible says that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Carried by the angels. I remember Sister Milliken telling me and Sister Bethany about many years ago when she come down with, I believe it was yellow fever or something like that, or the Hong Kong flu or something. She caught it in California, and it was some great thing that was sweeping through America, you know, many years ago, and she caught it, and she felt like she was going to die, and she told her husband, that's preaching out in California, and she said, "Take me home, I want to die in Oklahoma." And they pulled over there at that gas station because she said she felt like she was fixing to go, and his dad carried her back there, Brother Milliken carried her back there to the trailer, and said that she was dying, and said she told them bye and kissed her babies, and she just her body just radiant with fever and just going, and said "There he is." "There's the Lord," said, "He's come to carry me home." And said that right, she got that faraway look in her eye, and Brother Jim said that she come up and said, "No, honey, He didn't come to carry me home. He's touched me and healed me. And I'm going to live." Hallelujah. Amen. But I believe that the angels will carry you into heaven. Amen. I believe that the angels is going to come and carry us home. Hallelujah. There'll come a day when the Lord's going to come back for us. Amen. There's only two places to go, friends. There's only heaven or hell. There's only two places. Amen. And I preach that if you don't live right, and if you don't walk with God, and you don't serve God, and you don't live a life that's pleasing to God, you're not going to heaven. I preach that. I believe it. I don't preach it because it's a fancy sermon. I don't preach it because it's a popular sermon. I don't preach that way because it draws big crowds. I preach it because I believe it with all of my heart. I believe we're to live right, and we're to walk with God. And we're to walk, amen, the straight and narrow path, or we're not going to make it to heaven. Amen. But this rich man, the Bible says, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Oh, what a day that was that man took his first look around hell. Oh, what a day it was when he realized that he was lost forever. He cried and said, "Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Friends, they may joke about it. People may carry on and say, "We're going to have a big party in hell." Friend, you're not going to have a big party in hell.
You're not going to have a bunch of booze. You're not going to have friends. You're not going to carry on. Amen. Hell is a place that no human being wants to go. Hell is a place that no human being wants anybody else to go. He said, send him to my father's house and tell them, amen, I have five brothers. Tell them, lest they come to this place of torment. Amen. He didn't want nobody else to come. He wasn't calling saying, hey, tell my friends to come on down here. We're having a big old ball. We're having a time. He didn't say, hey, tell my brothers, go ahead and, amen, end it all. Come on. No, hell is a place that we don't want to go. The Bible teaches us that hell is real. The Bible teaches us, amen, that hell, amen, is for sure. And that is the future place of those that have not God in their life. And friend, eternity is so long that the human mind cannot fathom it. You try to think about forever. You can't wrap your mind around forever. Because everything that we have has a beginning and an ending. Everything. It has, but the human mind cannot even fathom forever. No. But how can we escape hell? If you got your Bibles tonight, I'm going to read some verses of Scripture. And you can turn with me to Matthew chapter number 10. I'm preaching on how can we escape hell. Matthew chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 12, I'd also like to read. Both of these say the same thing, just in a little bit different words. How can we escape hell? Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Luke chapter 12, I'll read it briefly. You'll have to turn there. Verse 4, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Jesus says, yea, I say unto you, fear him. So I'm preaching tonight on how can we escape hell. Now I want to preach first off, we can escape hell by fearing God. We can escape the damnation of hell by having a fear of God. Amen. A deep settled, amen, unsettling, if that makes sense to you, and if it's proper English to use. Well, our sister Kristen, she graduated high school, and she knows it all now. But anyways, if that's even proper, it's a deep settling that is an unsettling. Amen. A fear that causes us, amen, to not go certain places because we're afraid of God. Amen. A fear that causes us to not say certain things. Amen. A fear that causes us to respect God in such a way, amen, that nothing else matters than what God wants. Did you ever read that in Ecclesiastes? I believe it's chapter 11. It's going to be right down there close to the end. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What does it say? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now I'm telling you what, the way people are living today and the way people are walking in their life, they don't fear God. Amen. You can't sin and just do things and live in a way, amen, that is contrary to God's word and tell me that you fear God. Amen. That's not fear of God, friend. Amen. I believe sometimes we lose it in our own self. We lose it amongst us as Christians. We get so familiar with the move of God. We get so familiar with the things of God. Amen. We get so familiar with it that we lose the respect, the fear of it. Help us, church. God, help us, church, to never, amen, stop fearing God, because I believe when we stop fearing God that we won't escape hell. Friends, there was a day and hour in our country where people feared God. They was afraid of what God would do. But we live in an hour. And matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 2. I didn't read this and study, but it just came to my mind. I believe it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. But it says, because execution against iniquity is not done speedily. How does that say it? Because judgment don't come. What is it, Brother Curtis? Because evil work, said, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, because they get by with it, amen, they think that they can just keep on getting by with it. But friends, we must fear God. Amen. Matter of fact, the apostle said to the children, to the Gentiles that was grafted in, he said that the branch was broken off and you was grafting in. He said, but don't be high-minded, but fear. He said, fear. Amen. Everybody knows that scripture, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Friend, we use that against preachers many times. We use that against those that's telling us, you ought not to live that way. We say, hey, the Bible says, amen, work out your own salvation. But, that's really taken out of context. Because if we work out our own salvation with true fear, we would welcome folks, amen, that would try to make us better. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. Fear of God. Fear of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 1 and 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. Amen. God help us. There's a scripture I want to read before I move on how can we escape the damnation of hell. How can we escape? I believe it's by fearing God. Amen. Luke 1 and verse, I believe it's verse number, can't even read my own writing. Verse number 50, is it? It says, yeah, this right here. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. His mercy, God's mercy is on them that fear him. Amen. We must reverence God. Amen. We must reverence God in every way. Reverence his house. Amen. That's why, amen, you don't go to the bathroom 15 times in the service. Come on, we got some older folks in here, don't we? Huh? Don't we got some elders in here? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Mama didn't put up with that, did she? Grandma didn't put up with it. And it didn't matter if you snuck past them. There was some other grandma sitting back there that just went ahead and got you. You done went to the restroom once tonight. You'll go again. What about talking and chewing gum? And think, come on, there's some elders in here tonight. Amen. Reverence for God. Fear of God. Afraid of God. Reverence. In our daily life. Young people, there'll be a time when mom and daddy ain't there. When the preacher ain't there. When nobody knows. But when that fear of God will hold you. Because like the song says, there's an all-seeing eye watching me. Amen. Watching you every day. Mind the course you pursue. Watching you. Amen. God's a-watching. And I'm afraid, amen, of God. I fear God. That right there, friends. If you want to believe this preacher tonight, will keep you out of hell. If you get something down in your heart, well, you're scared to death that you'll displease God, you'll escape hell. All right, let's move on. Mark chapter number 9. I'm preaching on how can we escape hell. Mark chapter 9 verse 43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet and be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. You get the picture here. Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. It'd be better for you to lose your hand than go to hell. He says, if your foot offends you, cut it off. And then he says, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee. And so how can we escape hell? I believe by taking action to overcome stumbling blocks. He said this, when what gets me to come up with this word stumbling block, he said, if it offends you, if it hinders, if it stumbles you, if it hinders you, remove the hindrance. I believe the way we can escape hell is get something in us that causes us to say, there is nothing going to stop me. Huh? I'm talking about I believe this is a choice, but it's action. Taking action against stumbling blocks will cause us to escape hell. If there's something in your life that's hindering you, you must take action to get over it. Amen. Get over it. I'm talking to us tonight on how we can escape hell. You've got to overcome it in prayer. You got to overcome it through fasting. Amen, friends. I'm telling you, the devil don't care how he gets us in hell. He don't care. He does not care. He don't care if it's a new job. He don't care if it's a car. He don't care if it's a friend. He don't care if it's a family member, a boyfriend or girlfriend. He doesn't care if it's a relationship. He don't care if it's drugs, alcohol, amen, cigarettes. He doesn't care what it is, just as long as he gets us. Can I get a witness here tonight? The way, young people, you'll escape hell is have something that'll cause you to do anything you have to do to overcome. He said, if your hand offend you. Now, friends, that is bizarre. Cutting your hand off. Cutting your foot off. Pulling your eye out. That is very bizarre. That's what you call drastic measures. But I believe with all of my heart that if a man really is willing to cut his hand off to make it to heaven, he'll never have to. You hear me? I believe that if a man or a woman or a boy or girl really was willing to pull their eye out to make it to heaven, really was willing, not just saying it or just, you know, I believe if that really was not said, it doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter what I have to go through. I'm not going to hell, for it's better. He said it's better for thee. It's better to cut your hand off than to go to hell with your hand. It's better to lose a job than to go to hell with that job. It's better, amen, to lose a relationship than to go to hell. Amen, over that relationship. Matter of fact, in Luke, he said, thou art, you're profitable. I don't know how he says it, and I'm going to move on right here because I'm running out of time. But he used Jesus in the same words. He said, if I hand offend thee, cut it off. He said, for it is profitable unto thee. Praise God. You mean it's profitable unto me to cut my hand off? It is profitable unto you to have a heart, amen, that says, I'll do whatever it takes to escape the flames of hell. Friends, we live in mushy-gushy America. But we're sitting in right here in church, and can't nobody mess with us. Can't nobody do nothing about it. And, you know, I went down there to Mexico, and, you know, I mean, I know it was probably just whatever, but they threw rocks and busted the window out up there. And I thought, man, them devils, I wish I could get my hands on them, you know. But throwing rocks on the church, you know. I mean, somebody come up and bust the window right now. We're going to go after them. I mean, Brother Larry and Brother Richard, they ain't here tonight. But, I mean, you better open both them doors, you know. We're coming after them. But that's, you know, down there, I mean, you know, it's just whatever. And there's places in the world right now that you sitting right here in this church, your life would be a threat. You could sit here tonight and hear this preacher on the, what am I trying to say? In other words, just because you're sitting here, you could lose your life. Iran? I mean, there's a few cases that we hear about. Friends, don't fool ourselves. We don't hear half. They're killing Christians all in the world today. And there's nothing says it won't come to us too. I'm telling you, I'm willing to die rather than go to hell. You got to have that whether we live in mushy-gushy America or not. Where it's easy. You know, I don't know if that's the right way to say that or not. Nobody getting mad at me, are you? I'm trying. I can't always get the right words, you know. But as bizarre as cutting your hand off, as bizarre as cutting your foot off, what about losing our life? You know, in that Columbine shooting down there, that them boys went in there, that was in the 90s. And I think it was in the 90s. I know I was still at home. And then boys went in there and they asked Rachel Scott, I've got her book down there, they asked her, said, are you that Christian? She was the Christian of, you know, the weirdo of the school. Come on now. Are you the Christian? They killed her, and they believe that they killed that girl because she's a Christian. And they was evil people, evil men. And I'm telling you, there's people that live in our land that would love to kill us because we believe in God. And would love to destroy us. Amen. Are we willing to remove stumbling blocks? Are we willing to lose to gain? Amen. He said that word profitable. And I'm going to preach a whole message on that if the Lord will help me sometime about profiting through loss. He said it'd be profitable if you cut your hand off. Well, I lost my hand. Amen. Anybody ever heard that saying, somebody die or something? Well, I lost my right arm. You know, I lost everything. Amen. Well, it's profitable for you to cut your hand off. Amen. It's better for you to cut your hand off. It's better for you to say within your heart, I'm not going to go to hell no matter what. No matter what, I'm not going to hell. Oh God, I'm talking about how can we escape hell. And then there's one more thing I want to preach about. And this is the simple. But in Thessalonians, it uses two words that I want to preach about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the Antichrist, verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. That's those that are going to hell. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. How can we escape hell? By receiving the love of the truth. For this cause shall God send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so lastly, I want to preach right here on how we can escape the flames of hell. How can we escape hell? How can we? Brother Sam, amen, me, church, me, this sinner right here, how can I escape hell? Ain't that our number one goal? I remember as a little child. I don't remember a lot, but I remember laying there and afraid that I would go to hell. I knew that I wasn't right with God. I knew that if the Lord come, I wasn't right with God. I thought, Lord, I'll go to hell. How can I escape? By receiving the love of the truth. By receiving the love of God's word. Amen. That they might be saved. He said they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So my last point is by believing and receiving. Because they believe not the truth. You stand on the corner of America today and tell them you're going to hell for your sins. Do they believe you? No. You know how to know if somebody believes you? If they receive it. Receive it. How do we escape hell? By believing and receiving God's word. My last scripture is in John chapter number 3.
And of course, 3 and 16, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but listen to this. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Amen. Already. Verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I started this sermon out tonight by making a pretty crazy statement. I don't know that I was planning on it. But it is very likely that there's some here tonight that will go to hell. But I will tell you this right here. There's nobody in this house that has to go to hell. Nobody. There's not a soul in here that has to go to hell. There's not one. Not a man, not a woman, not a boy, not a girl. Nobody. Friend, are you right with God tonight? Friend, are you saved tonight? This preacher's telling you, you don't have to go to hell. Young people tonight, even the little ones that was singing, you don't have to go to hell. Jesus loves us. And he's here to save us from our sins. Jesus looked at that group and said, you snakes, you generation of snakes, how are you going to escape? And I look at us and I say, how will we escape the damnation of hell? I believe by fearing God. I believe by taking action, being willing to do whatever it takes, and by believing and receiving, whatever order you want to put them in. I know we got to believe, that's what salvation is. I know that. I know that believing is what salvation is. Friend, the Lord's dealt with me on this message tonight. I read that scripture today, and I was reading through Luke in my Bible reading, and it said, the rich man died also. The beggar died, but the rich man died too. It don't say how long it was. It could have been 50 years. You ever thought about that? It could have been 50 years. It could have been a long time. But in comparison to eternity, it was just like a sleep, a night's sleep, 50 years, 10 years, 5 years. It could have been the next day. But regardless of the fact this old beggar died, then the rich man died. And the question came to me, on who's next? You know, there's folks that are dying and going to hell. And I pray that God will give us a burden. Let's stand together tonight. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. Are you here tonight, sinner friend? You're not right with God? The Lord loves you and he wants to save you. Are you here tonight, friend, and you're not right with God? The Lord wants to save you tonight. I can't save you, but the Lord can. Would you lift your hand and say, Brother Sam, I'm not right with God. Would you please pray for me? We've already had one hand. Anyone else, just slip your hand up and put it back down. I'm not right with God. I see that hand. Is there another? You'll slip your hand up and put it down. Say, I'm not right with God. Would you please pray for me, bro? I see that hand. God bless you. Yes, Lord, bless you tonight.
Friends, you raised your hand tonight. I was a young person. On a Wednesday night, when the preacher preached, I can't tell you what he preached on. But I slipped my hand up tonight just like you did. And I put it back down. Nobody saw me that I knew. But the Lord saved me that night. Is there anyone else? You slipped your hand up, put it down, say, I want to get saved tonight. Oh God.
More than anything in my life.
My friend, tonight you raised your hand because the Lord's dealing with you tonight. And He wants to work in your life. If you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. While everyone's still got their head bowed, no one looking around, I would like for you to slip out from where you're sitting. I'd like for you to come up here and pray. I want to meet you at this altar and pray with you. There's those that's already coming. Won't you come with them? Come on. You raised your hand. Look at them come. Come on. Don't be ashamed. That's the Lord. Go ahead. Just slip on out. Come on. That's right. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. The Lord's working tonight, church. That's right. Come on. Don't be ashamed. This is the best. Come on. Let's pray right here. Anyone else? There's those that come. Let's gather in church and pray tonight. There's those that want to seek the Lord for a little while. Find one of these that's come and pray with
them.
It could be one of them that's next, but the Lord loves us. Thank you, Lord. These have come. Make such a wonderful decision tonight. Let's pray that the Lord really does a work for them. Don't be ashamed while you pray. Don't be afraid while you pray. Don't be ashamed.
More than anything.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
In my life,
y'all come on, help us pray tonight. These need prayer. Just gather around. Let's encourage them.
I'll take my possessions, great or small. Friends and family, take.